From WNYC New York Public Radio, this is The Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Brian Lehrer. This is just one segment of our show, but every interview is available on demand at WNYC.org. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org.
WNYC On Demand is supported by DataPipe Managed IT Services, delivering a comprehensive suite of managed services, including implementing, securing, and scaling applications designed for mid-market and Fortune 1000 enterprises. DataPipe.com.
Reforming the tenure process, which we'll undertake with the help of the United Federation of Teachers, will allow us to reward teacher excellence and begin to eliminate mediocrity. The UFT shares my view that improving the number of quality teachers is the most important critical element of all in driving reform. Too many of our new teachers leave the system after only a few years, frustrated by their inability to make a difference for children.
Mayor Bloomberg from his State of the City address yesterday, to which we're getting reaction from a variety of guests. We heard at some length from City Council Speaker Christine Quinn. We'll get some shorter reactions now, beginning with City Council Education Committee Chairman Robert Jackson of Harlem and Points North on Manhattan's West Side. Councilman, welcome back to WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning.
I have two things to ask you about. One is that clip that we just played on tenure. The mayor seemed to be going there in two directions at once, concerned about teachers leaving the system after just a few years, and concerned about teachers getting lifetime tenure too easily after just a few years. Does he propose ways to solve both problems, in your opinion?
Well, he alluded to the fact that he's going to be working with the union, and it seems as though that the union is going to be a partner. As I said to you last night, I doubt that because that's a contractual issue. And they're going to have to get over that contractual hurdle. The fact is,
Randy Weingarten, the union president, did put out a statement saying the mayor already has that power. Did you understand that?
Well, I would think that that power is already there because the language is, you know, teachers are supervised and they're evaluated. If in fact the principals or assistant principals or whoever's evaluating them is not using that process, then they have to use the process to make it work. To say because they're not, if the administration feels they're not doing it properly, then you have to, counsel people to use that process to make it work. The mayor, what I'm hearing the mayor and Dennis Walcott and them saying is
Deputy Mayor Walcott,
right, that they're using the tenure process right now as a default. In essence, they're not using the process in place in order to really determine whether or not someone needs to be given tenure.
So do you support them getting tougher on that?
Well, I support them using the process that they have in place and make it work rather than saying that we're going to try something new because, as I said to you, they have to negotiate that. And I don't think that the union is going to give up on that process.
Let me just say this.
You know, people say that tenure is a lifetime process. It's not a lifetime process. What it does, it eliminates the fact where a teacher can be fired on the spot with almost no reason with that all within 3 years.
But isn't it true that in reality they have to be so bad for so long and do something so grievous before they're ever actually removed? Rather than in the university system, you have to really prove that you're a great professor before, or that your research is good, that's another issue, before you are granted tenure as a privilege.
No, I don't think it's that difficult. I think that if, from a process point of view, if teachers are properly being supervised by the assistant principals and principals, evaluations will determine whether or not someone should be granted tenure or not, or if, in fact, they need to be either retrained or weeded out of the system.
Mm-hmm. All right. In your opinion, would cracking down on tenure, if they do it, do more to improve teacher quality or to exacerbate the experienced teacher shortage?
Well, I think that if principals and assistant principals take a closer look at in evaluating teachers, it may weed out a couple more individuals or a couple hundred more people that maybe should not have been granted tenure, but I don't think it's going to have a big effect whatsoever.
The other thing I want to ask you about is the Columbia University expansion proposal for West Harlem in your district. The mayor gave it a big push in the speech, and when you and I spoke on television last night, you endorsed Columbia's plan, But many in the community seem to be angry, and particularly angry that Colombia might get the government to seize people's land through eminent domain. Is Colombia expansion really good for Harlem?
Well, I didn't say I endorse Colombia's plan. As I said to you, in fact, I'm at Columbia University now at a global partners conference where education is being talked about. I said to you that I concur as far as that Columbia University and the West Harlem Local Development Corporation, which is the community's arm, is going to be negotiating a community benefits agreement. And I'm looking forward to that agreement. And in fact, there's a first meeting of that group tomorrow. So in theory, I support Columbia's expansion. I don't necessarily agree with their plan. And we're going to be working on those details. And hopefully we'll reach a consensus between the Local Development Corp and Columbia University.
I gotcha.
So that we can all move forward.
What do you want to see in that community benefits agreement for it to be acceptable to you?
I want to see thousands of construction and permanent jobs for the people in our community. I want to see partnerships in educational institutions for schools in Harlem and in Morningside Heights. And I want to, they also mentioned affordable housing, so I want to see some affordable housing units in there also.
All right. City Councilman Robert Jackson, Education Committee Chair, who represents Harlem and points north on Manhattan's West Side. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
So my primary budget will include $1 billion of tax relief. This is a broad-based package of tax cuts designed to pump money back into our neighborhoods, create jobs, lower the burden on property owners, and make New York an even more attractive place to live and work.
We are getting reaction to Mayor Bloomberg's State of the City address. Up next, Andrea Batista Schlesinger, Executive Director of the progressive think tank, the Drum Major Institute. Welcome back to WNYC. Good morning.
Good morning.
We played that clip on taxes. Are you in favor of all the mayor's tax cuts?
No. I mean, I think eliminating the sales tax is a great idea. That's a progressive move. But
can I stop you right there for a second? Because we already have the elimination of the sales tax on clothing up to $110. So one could argue that eliminating it on all the other clothing, that is items that cost more than $110, is regressive because that favors people who are buying higher priced stuff when the lower priced stuff is already exempt.
Well, I think it's possible for a typical New York middle class family to buy an item of clothing or shoes that cost more than $110.
Okay, go ahead.
So in that sense, I think it's a better move than not. I'm concerned about the conversation around tax relief. It was kind of a Bushian, turn of phrase. You know, what the mayor understood when he began his first term is that taxes play a critical role in funding the things that make New York, New York, and funding the things that make a city livable. And I don't think we're yet at the point where we've done enough, when we have libraries that are still open 5 days a week, when we have rookie cops whose salaries are so low that we're having trouble finding recruits, when you have teachers who are still, you know, dramatically underpaid, where we can say, all right, you know, let me give you one of these rebates, and we'll check back in a year. I was a little disappointed.
So which tax cuts would you defer?
Well, I don't think there was a need to push these rebates. I don't think, there was a need to push a property tax that may or may not get to renters. So, you know, I think the $1 billion, the sales tax I liked, but, you know, I was a little disappointed that the mayor wasn't calling for increased or renewed commitment from New Yorkers to continue supporting the things that, you know, that that we need to do before we can, revel in the joy of tackling the big problems.
The speaker did say in our interview, Council Speaker Christine Quinn, that she would look at ways to give renters a benefit from the property tax relief. Do you think they can write that in somehow?
I think it's possible. I think certainly it should be looked at when, you know, we look at rent-stabilized buildings and then, you know, when the owners are able to decide how much they can charge renters in the future. But, you know, if the speaker taking that on is precisely the right response, because a property tax cut without any guarantee that it'll get to, you know, the majority of New Yorkers who are renting is misguided.
open floor. Take your pick. What did you like the most and the least among the mayor's proposals yesterday?
Well, I love the proposal to get the earned income tax credit into the hands of New Yorkers who needed it. I love the mayor's tone when it came to when it came to pursuing drug traffickers. I love the fact that the mayor was continuing to focus on the schools, was going to realign the school formula to be by student instead of teachers. I thought that was good stuff. I thought it was a little odd that he didn't push on, you know, where the state would be in the same way that he did on pensions. He didn't push on, you know, full resolution and funding for the campaign for fiscal equity. But, I appreciated the fervor with which he talked about, you know, pay to play, with which he talked about illegal guns. On the bad stuff, you know, I wasn't happy about, you know, the tax rebate language, the tax relief language. It just kind of perpetuates this notion that, you know, that taxes are a burden as opposed to a critical function in the engine of the economy. The pension talk was a little odd.
Making it easier for the city to negotiate lower pensions for their workers?
Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting when we have these conversations about pensions and about labor unions. I mean, it's New Yorkers who are parts of these unions, and it's New Yorkers who get these pensions that enable them to participate in the economy. So I think that it's up to debate whether the city should be negotiating collective pensions as part of the collective bargaining agreement. But, you know, I think the language around pensions neglects the fact that it's New Yorkers who are earning them.
15 seconds. What was that drug traffickers thing you mentioned?
Gun traffickers.
Oh, gun traffickers.
Gun traffickers, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you like the juvenile justice proposal? Less incarceration for teens who commit nonviolent crimes, but ending youthful offender status for kids who commit crimes with guns.
Yeah, I think finding ways to, you know, keep kids with who have committed crimes here is, you know, is smart. But the language around trying young people as adults, you know, I think makes for good, you know, good on crime feelings. But I don't know that that's the answer to addressing why juveniles are committing crimes with guns in the first place.
Andrea Batista Schlesinger, Executive Director of the Drum Major Institute. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll also launch a $9 million initiative to reduce the number of kids sent away to upstate facilities and instead provide intensive family-based services and monitoring. And we'll partner with John Jay College on an innovative initiative linking young offenders released from detention with the mental health services they so obviously need.
We are getting reaction to Mayor Bloomberg's State of the City address. Up next, Robert George, editorial board member at the New York Post. Robert, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. Good to be here.
Would you start with reaction to that clip and basically the same question I asked Andrea Batista Schlesinger just before you? Do you like this bargain the mayor is proposing on juvenile justice?
I think it's not a bad idea. I mean, the one area I applaud the mayor for in the context of the gun issue is to put the emphasis on punishing those who commit crimes with guns, which is where the emphasis should be. In a sense, the main focus is the criminalization of the criminal and not the criminalization of guns, which some part of the mayor's rhetoric sometimes makes it sound like he is focusing more on just the guns without respect to their legality or illegality. So, I mean, I think that's fine. I mean, if there are ways to, in a sense, intercede in the lives of young people who are going in the wrong direction, so much the better. And if you could make the focus on those people who commit crimes with guns, even better.
From a conservative or libertarian perspective, is he on the right track with his balance between taxing and tax cuts, taxing for services and tax cuts?
Well, it's actually kind of funny because listening to his address yesterday, I would almost think that the mayor was Republican. In that, for the first time, he really did want to talk about serious tax relief, which I know that your previous guest Andrea did not like that. I think she referred to it as a Bushian term. But having observed conservative politics for quite some time, I can assure her that the idea of tax relief to citizens came a lot earlier than George W. Bush. In fact, even earlier than his father, George H. W. Bush.
She was talking about a disdainful tone toward taxation as something generally bad and onerous rather than a necessary and positive function in our democracy if done well.
Brian, if listeners get a chance to take a look at our paper today on page 2, we've got a story there that headlined New Yorkers Take Nation's Hardest Tax Wallop. The combination of state and local taxes in New York is the highest in the nation. And when you actually contrast that with what Andrew was talking about, you know, the actual needs, the basic needs for the city, the needs for the state, we are sort of like mid-level of states in terms of services required.
So there's an efficiency question there.
There's a major efficiency question there, and there have been a number of stories over the last few months about New Yorkers leaving New York. What Mayor Bloomberg has to do, which we kind of applaud him for in terms of trying to relieve the property tax, is lower that burden. And I think, frankly, it's a discussion for another time, but that's something also that Governor Spitzer also has to do at the state level.
Right. But very briefly, the mayor mentions that our bond rating is at an all-time high, our unemployment is at an all-time low, the population has grown to 8.2 million, all indications of a resilient, well-positioned economy.
I agree with that, and I think that's why you need to strike while the iron is hot. Rather than just have a property tax cut for 1 year, you should make those tax cuts permanent. Because let's say that somebody who's thinking of moving to New York, if they say, the mayor is lowering property taxes, but it's only for 1 year, so if I go there, they're just going to soar right up again, and then in the incoming years. Just in the same way that businesses need to have some kind of idea of tax stability so that they can make plans, it's the same thing for families who want to move to New York, who want to buy property and buy houses in New York as well.
All right. Robert George, New York Post editorial board member and a blogger at raggedthoughts.blogspot.com. Thanks, Robert. Coming up in a minute, P.J. O'Rourke on The Wealth of Nations. Stay with us. Thanks for listening to The Brian Lehrer Show from WNYC New York Public Radio. You can hear everything we do and check out our other programs on demand at WNYC.org or on iTunes. This on-demand service is made possible by WNYC and its listeners, so please help support this free service by becoming a member at WNYC.org. And thanks.